Lifehouse, we love you. We have a special guest for you today. We have Lee McBride all the way from Alabama. Come on up, Lee. You guys will enjoy. It'll be a special treat.
Thank you, sir. So good to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 26. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I'm telling you, it's been one of them days for me. I broke my pointer finger yesterday. That's aggravating, isn't it? And then I'm in a brand new rental truck, and my key fob won't work this morning. Somebody had to come rescue me at Walmart. Thank you, Carlos. It's just been one of those days, but I believe that God is going to have his way in this room. And I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he can do everything he says he can do. And I'm so grateful to Pastor Drew and Kristen for letting me be here today. Let's pray real quick. Lord, we love you so much, and we ask for your help. And Lord, these folks, somebody's here counting on the fact that we have heard from you. And they're counting on the fact that we have prayed and fasted and studied and we're ready. But Lord, the bottom line is, if it's going to be you, then it can't be me. So I'm asking you just to take control and guide us and help us to be crystal clear and spirit-led. And Father, we'll follow at your pace. And just help us as we tell this simple little story that's very familiar to so many of us. And we talk about what you call beautiful. In your name we pray, and everybody said, Matthew 26, verse 6. Thank you. I tell you what, this is the most helpful church. Matthew 26, 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper. Now stop right there. I'm going to teach you a Bible study trick. Many of you already know this. I can remember going to Bible college and taking Hebrew and Greek. See, I graduated with some boys in high school, and I used to tell them all the time, I'm just as smart as you. I'd tell the salutatorian and the valedictorian, I'm just as smart as you. I just don't try. I said, you know, if I really tried, I could have been the valedictorian. And then I went to Southeastern, and I took Hebrew and Greek, and I realized I had lied to them because I really, really tried. And it was really, really hard. And I came out of there with a very, very solid low C and was glad to get it. Glad to get it. So I learned how to exegete, how to break down scripture. But you don't have to go to Bible college. And it's way easier than it is now because we used to have a stack of books at high and do it. But let me tell you what is a good tip. Studying the scripture, when you come to something that you don't understand or it doesn't make sense, stop till it does. If you come to a place, a town, and you don't know where that is on a modern day map, just stop, pause for a minute, and find out. In Matthew 26, verse 6, don't make any sense at first. Listen to me. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper. Now, the reason it doesn't make sense is, first of all, I think we probably understand contagious and infectious disease better than we ever have, but I don't know if we truly understand what it's like to be a leper in Matthew 26. If you were declared unclean by the high priest as a leper in Matthew 26, you can never touch another human being again. You couldn't hug your babies goodbye, your spouse goodbye. You couldn't go make one last speech. I mean, immediately they would give you something to wear, take your clothes and burn them. You had to live in a colony with only other leprous people. You couldn't drink from the same water sources. You could not bathe in the same streams. Leprosy does two things. First of all, it becomes your whole identity once you become a leper. Your resume doesn't really matter before then. All we know now is that we are unclean. And leprosy, the second thing it does is it destroys intimacy. Leprosy couldn't stop you from loving your kids, but it could stop you from ever touching your kids again. That's kind of what leprosy does. And the Bible says that they were in Bethany at the home of a man named Simon the leper. First of all, Simon shouldn't be there if he's a leper. You know, I read a story one time where in certain parts, when this scripture was written, in certain parts of this country, of the country where it was written, they had to carry a noisemaker if they had leprosy. And if they were on a common road, when they saw somebody coming, some people believe it was some kind of makeshift bell, and other people believe it was like bones or something you would clack together. But regardless, it wasn't a city ordinance that didn't come from the HOA. This was a mandate that when they saw you coming, you had to yell three times a word as loud as you could, unclean, 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 so that people could see you, know you were a leper, and keep a safe distance. Simon shouldn't be at the house. And if Simon was a leper, Jesus and them guys, they shouldn't be there either. That doesn't make sense. But when you study the story a little more, you know what you're going to come to the conclusion that I came to. And that is this. The blood of Jesus Christ can make what is unclean clean. Does anybody else believe that? The reason Simon was there is because the blood of Jesus Christ made what was unclean clean. Can anybody attest? Can anybody be a witness to the fact? Did anybody besides me have a wicked, selfish, and deceitful heart before the blood of Jesus? You couldn't count on what I said before the blood of Jesus. I mean, but since the blood of Christ has entered our lives, we know He can make what is unclean clean. Now, John chapter 12, I believe in my heart, is another version of this story. But whether it is or it isn't, there's a debate about that. It doesn't matter for the point we're making here. There was also somebody in a small room in an intimate meeting with Jesus who had had medical issues. Anybody else know who was in there? His name was Lazarus. Anybody remember Lazarus's medical condition? Dead, yeah. And y'all know, bad as leprosy is, being dead's worse than having leprosy. And I don't mean he died for 19 seconds, you know, came up, wrote a blog, and now he's in Guidepost or something. I don't know. He'd been dead for a few days. Graveyard dead. They done had his service. He's back there in the fellowship hall eating tater salad, telling Lazarus stories. He's dead. Anybody here, raise your hand if you were in church as a child. Anybody remember Vacation Bible School? Is there anything better on the earth than Vacation Bible School? I drive about 80,000 miles a year, and I preach in a lot of rural churches, all kinds of churches. And nothing just fires me up more as an evangelist. Be riding in the middle of a cornfield somewhere, and you top a hill, and there's a church with a little old sign, VBS is this week. Because you can just picture kids coming from everywhere. They love VBS. I hope that never goes away, or Kids Crusade, or whatever we choose to call it. I was a preacher's kid. So I had to go to every VBS, every churches. Anybody remember that the reward at the end of most VBSs was if you could memorize a scripture every night? You got to go on a treasure chest at the end of the week. Does anybody remember the treasure chest full of candy and prizes? I mean, I wonder one time if I stand before God, if I'm going to have to admit to Him that what really made me fall in love with His Word first, I don't know whether it was Chinese handcuffs or vampire teeth. Wax lips. Anybody remember wax lips? Matter of fact, I went to a VBS one time at a Presbyterian church. It's a true story. They had candy cigarettes in the VBS treasure chest. Y'all, something don't seem right about that. God so loved the world. But for every man in here that went to VBS as a boy, the first Monday night scripture, I can tell you what you memorized Monday night, because it's the easiest scripture in the Bible to memorize, because it's only two words, Jesus wept. Monday night, check. But if you know that verse is actually telling the story of Lazarus. I don't know if you remember the story. Let's just go back through it together. The Bible says that Jesus was out of town and Lazarus got really, really sick. And Lazarus' sisters, and they sent for Jesus. And when they find him, they say, you got to get back home. Lazarus was probably one of his closest earthly friends. He had eaten meals at their house. He loved Lazarus. He said, you got to get back home. Lazarus is in bad shape. And Jesus says, he'll be okay. He's just asleep. And when they get back, when Jesus gets back in town, Lazarus has passed, and they just had his funeral. And I'm telling you, they are upset with Jesus. They're sideways. Matter of fact, when they confront him, we tried to tell you that Lazarus was ill and sick and you needed to get back. The Bible says that he wept. I wonder if my lack of faith ever hurt Jesus. I wonder if I've ever made him weep. Well, you know the story. He goes over and speaks life into a grave, and Lazarus comes out, and he's known the rest of his life on earth as the man who was dead. Yo, how weird would that be? I mean, what if you came in and sat pretty close to in church somebody you had been to their funeral? That's weird. People around town saying, that's him right over in that red tunic. Don't look, don't look. I went to his funeral. He was dead. But just as true as the statement that the blood of Jesus Christ can make what is unclean clean, we learn through Lazarus that the power of God can make what is dead live again. Can you say amen? You don't have to raise your hand. Is there a marriage in here that the world told you to punt? Say, it's fourth down punt. Go find a new set of downs. Let's start over. Is there a businessman in here when it got so bad you were close to shutting it down and God breathed life into something that the world had pronounced dead and it lived again? It is a true statement that God can make what is dead live again. Don't you let the world talk you into punting or giving up or quitting. You wait till you hear from God, because one breath from God, one command from God can make what is dead live again. All right, let's go back and finish our verse. We'll start over 6. While Jesus was in Bethany at the home of a man named Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head while he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they became indignant. Why this waste, they said. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor will always have you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. And truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout this world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Here we are, 2,000 years later, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, telling her story. You know, the old saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I don't know what you consider beautiful. I don't know how many people here. I'm an evangelist. I'm the worst one to ask how many people here. It looks like 700-800 to me. You know, sometimes we're bad about counting ears instead of noses. I don't know how many people are here. But however many people are here, let me tell you something. That may be how many different opinions we can have on what's beautiful. I mean, I like to be in a hardwood bottom with a hard frost on the ground and the little sun starts coming up and I like to be hunting. Huh? Some of you ladies like to be at these shopping, it's not really malls now, but them outside malls when they start raising them metal doors. I'd rather be hitting a head than go to the mall anymore. Nothing happens good to fat guys at the mall. I don't know if you know that. Number one, at some point your wife's going to ask you to hold her purse. There's not a manly way to hold a woman's purse. I've tried to hold it like I'm going to throw a spiral with it or tuck it in the back of my britches where can't nobody see it. Second thing is, if you ain't paying close attention, you'll be standing somewhere it's awkward. I mean, when you're 6'4" and you're field dressed 325 and you're standing out in front of Victoria's, it ain't no secret. You know what I'm saying? What is the fat guy doing there? The only thing I've found happens good to me at them places is that big salty pretzel. I like that salty pretzel at the food court. But what Jesus calls beautiful, that ought to speak to us. What other reference in the Bible does he describe something as being beautiful? He said, "Why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me." I mean, Simon the leper's there, Lazarus is there. Why does he call what this woman did beautiful? I mean, there's people in the room that followed him every step he took, slept on rocks with him, starved with him, followed him every step. He didn't call what them guys were doing beautiful. Matter of fact, he got on to them more than he encouraged them. Why this random act by this lady? We don't know for sure who she is. Most scholars believe it's Mary of Bethany. I've even heard some guys say it's Mary Magdalene. They're getting confused with what happened in Luke 7. Listen, here's what I know. I think there are two reasons why Christ called what she did beautiful. Number one, she only had one thing on earth worth anything, and she gave it to Christ all at once. You know, I've been on 60-something mission trips. I'm going to the DR on a different mission trip, but I'll be there, I think, the week after y'all are there. I've been on, I don't know, been going my whole life. When I'm a preacher's kid, I've been going my whole life. Without a doubt, the toughest mission trip I ever went on was in a little country in the middle of Siberia called Tuva. Kazil Tuva. We got in a Willis Army Jeep. We went around to villages right after communism had fallen. They were starting churches at an impressive rate and forming little block buildings called communist centers, and we're preaching the gospel in these villages. And they sent somebody who could kind of help train youth ministers to do youth ministry and worship people, and I happened to be chosen to be on that team. It was tough. We bought 2 50-pound bags of potatoes and ate boiled potatoes for a week. Skin them and boiled them. I did not eat French fries for 3 years. I mean, I love potatoes, but breakfast, lunch, and supper for a week? It was just tough, man. We had to preach through not just one interpreter, 2 or 3 interpreters most of the time. It was a tough, tough trip. And I was glad I went, and God used us. But I was ready to come home. You ever been ready to come home? I mean, you ever wanted to come home so bad your bones ache a little bit? I was ready to come to the house. I'm glad I did it. And if God told me to go do it again, I would. But, man, I mean, I was ready. We had to fly from Krasnoyarsk, Siberia to, Kyiv to Krasnoyarsk, Krasnoyarsk to Moscow, Moscow to JFK, JFK to Atlanta, where my family's going to meet me in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're going to Phoenix City, Alabama. And I was ready. I miss my kids. I wanted to smooch on my kids, but I most especially miss my wife, Wendy Wu. We'll be married 38 years this July the 23rd. If she was here today, you would not believe she is my wife. I'm 6'4", she's 5 foot. She's that tall. And we're all scared of her. Man, it's amazing. I don't call her sugar, though. I call her sweet and low. She's that tall. Got an Alabama smile, make a puppy pull a freight train. She is number one. You hear me? I called her a minute ago. I said, my key fob ain't working. She said, well, don't worry about it till after church. I said, yes, ma'am. I really wanted to snuggle up with Wendy Wu. Boiled potatoes, cold water. I wanted to get home. I'll never forget. We fly from Krasnoyarsk, Kyiv to Krasnoyarsk. We get to Moscow, and when we're coming down that escalator, there's dudes down at the bottom of the escalator holding signs with our name on them. You know, like they'll do a movie star or a rock star or something. I'm like, here we go, buddy. We get down there, it's our travel agency. And they said, we have messed up your flight home, and you can't go home till tomorrow. But to make it up to you, we're going to send you to Zurich, Switzerland. I didn't want to go to Zurich, Switzerland. I wanted to go to Phoenix City, Alabama. I wanted to buy 12 crystal cheeseburgers. Sliders. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody feel my? You know what I mean? I didn't want no fries. I was good on no fries. But I'll take a big thing of chili to dip them in. And a chocolate shake to get them down. I know that sounds terrible, but you eat boiled potatoes for a week, see what happens. So they start trying to sell us on the trip. Man, I'm mad. They said, well, you know, Zurich's where they make the finest timepieces on earth. I said, it sure ain't. I said, that's a Timex Iron Man right there. I paid $27 for it. I had it 9 years. I've lost it 3 times, washed it in the washing machine. There can't be a finer timepiece on this earth. They said, well, you know, that's where they make the Swiss Army knife. Look, I'm a dude. I like knives. I like guns. I love that kind of stuff. Never understood the Swiss Army knife. It's a survival knife with a corkscrew. Is there one human being in this room would stand up and say, man, I was in this one situation one time if I had only had a corkscrew. I found one use for the corkscrew on a Swiss Army knife. You know how when you open a can of Vienna's, you know how you'll demolish that middle one trying to get it out first? Why are y'all looking at, y'all don't eat Vienna sausages? Y'all are looking at me, does anybody know what a Vienna sausage is? You'll tear the skin off that middle one trying to get it out, won't you? I had broke the tine on a plastic fork trying to set that middle sausage free. But if you'll take that corkscrew, fish it down in that middle sausage, ease it out of there, you can eat all your sausages intact. Can you say amen? I didn't want no new Swiss watch. I didn't want no Swiss Army knife. We get there and they said, well, we're going to give you a tour of Zurich. I said, drop me at the hotel quicker. I lay down quicker. I go to sleep quicker. I wake up quicker. We're going home. So they dropped me and I was walking to the hotel And right by the entrance to the hotel was a perfume shop. And in the front window was a big blue twisty bottle of perfume. And it even had one of them I've learned they call that an atomizer. I had never bought any smell good had an atomizer on it. I got one on my Roundup jug when I'm trying to kill weeds, but I have never had one on any smell good. That got her right there, buddy. She's about to lay an egg right there. I had $280. I had every dollar I took because we didn't have nowhere to spend it. I went in and said, "How much for that big blue twisty bottle of perfume?" They said, $230 American dollars. I said, "Wow. I was bringing Wendy home some perfume from Switzerland with the skshksh." I felt like the biggest sissy. I was scared to put it in my luggage. They'd bust it, and I didn't want to put it in overhead, so I flew 13 time zones home with a blue twisty bottle of perfume. I'll never forget when I gave it to her. She just squalled. She loved it. We milked that perfume. She milked it for 2 years. I don't spend a lot of money on smell good. Like this morning, I'm wearing Rolo. Anybody ever heard of Rolo? Smells like Polo. Rolo. $7. You can get it at Tractor Supply. Instead of a man riding a polo pony swinging a mallet, it's a farmer riding a donkey swinging a bush axe. But just put a few more squirts on there. But when I originally wrote this message, I thought about that. That's how we give to God what is precious. Lord, I'm coming. I'm going to the Dominican Republic trip, Lord, or I'm going through First Steps, or I'm going to help in the kids' ministry, and I'm going to do that, Lord. I want you to see this. Make sure you get it on GodTube, Lord. And I meet people all the time. They think that to begin your journey with Jesus and to get your name in the book of life and to be forgiven, they think it's progressive. You don't do it in chapters. I meet all kind of people trying to fix their life before you come to Jesus. Y'all, that don't make sense. You can't clean a fish you ain't caught. But not this lady. She had one thing on this earth worth anything. And she broke it and poured it out all at once. That's the way Christ wants from your heart. He don't want a piece of your heart. He don't want more of your heart you gave him last year. He wants your heart. Give it to him all at once. I know it's broke. I know they're selfish. I know it's not perfect. But he can make a perfect heart. The blood of Jesus Christ makes what is unclean clean and what is dead live again. Second reason, I think, is because I believe if the Bible wanted us to know exactly who this lady was, Jesus would have called her by name. But he said, "Woman." But regardless of who it was, I think if you understand the culture in Matthew 26, verse 6, she really was out of place for her to be there. Plus, she knew the nature of men. You think she didn't know somebody was going to have a problem with her walking in there? She knew them men were going to become indignant. Isn't it funny them dudes are becoming indignant? One of them says, "Go sell Jesus for a handful of change, for the price of a common slave at auction that day." But she got to a point in her faith where it was more important what Christ was calling her to do than what people thought about what she is doing or what people said about what she was doing. And if we can get to that point in our faith where we're more concerned of what he's told us to do and called us to do and get about doing it and less worried about what people are saying or thinking about what we do, I think he'll describe that kind of faith as beautiful. I love you. I've looked forward to this day like a kid at Christmas. Chris and I say this to Drew. I was so scared when I saw y'all had to cancel one Sunday and move the time. I was like, he's going to make me not preach. He ain't going to Israel. He's going to stay home. He ain't preaching 3 weeks. I just, every time the phone rang, I'm like, well, I wouldn't be doing that. I'd be doing this. If you look at me close, look at this eye. This is my good eye. This eye's lazy. People say, how lazy is your eye, Lee? I said, it's collecting unemployment. That's what it's doing. And praying for another stimulus check. I love you. I do. I'm so thrilled to be here. But I'll be honest with you, I love you enough to tell you the truth. You ready for it? Next Sunday, I'm going to be at a church in Brooks, Georgia, and I'm going to pray just as hard and fast just as hard, and I'm going to preach with just as much passion. Not because I don't love you or I like that church, just because once I've obeyed God here, I got to go do something else. When we can be concerned more what God's called us to do than what people think about what we've done, that's beautiful faith. You know, I got another point left, but the Holy Spirit's telling me to hush. Would you stand with me, Lenny, if you'll come on back? Just stand with me where you are. Praise you, Jesus. Just bow your head. If you're here this morning and you can identify with Simon the leper, something has come into your life, and it may have been a bad decision you made, it may be your fault, or it may have come out of the cold blue sky, nothing you did. But it's trying to become your whole identity, and it's trying to destroy your intimacy with God. I mean, if somebody asks you if you love God, you'd say, yeah. But when's the last time you've been intimate with God? Some of you can identify with Lazarus. Some of you got problems been around a while. Matter of fact, if you'll be honest, you're almost tempted to give up praying. It's been around a long time. You just plan on taking that problem to heaven with you. You're going to weekend at Bernie's it. You're just going to drag old Lazarus and put a hat on him and some sunglasses and act like he ain't dead. Can I say this to you, and I hope you sense my heart. No guru. I can't pray no better than you. I'm just telling you this because I love you. Your problem has been around a long time, or it's got a big bad name, or it seems overwhelming. Let me tell you something. Your problem might intimidate you. It does not intimidate God. I promise you that. One breath. Maybe you can identify with this lady. Maybe something in your past has got you insecure about obeying the call Christ has given you. I meet people all the time trying to penalize themselves. This is not a hockey game. There is no penalty box. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whatever it is. Or maybe it doesn't fit into real neatly into any of those three categories, but you want prayer. Man, I'd love to pray with you. This may be hard for you to believe, but I love praying with people more than I do preaching. Have we got a few prayer workers? Maybe three or four ladies, three or four guys that would come and just put their back to the stage. Praise you, Jesus. If you're in here this morning, you can identify with Simon. Just wave at me. Yeah. If you're in here this morning, you say, Lee, I got a big, bad Lazarus problem, been around a long time, or it's got a big, bad name or a big, bad title, but I believe God can help me. Wave at me this morning. Is there anybody who's not been doing what God called you to do because you're too worried about what people think or say about it? Wave at me. Some of you haven't given your greatest talent to the Lord, the most precious thing. You keep, and it's time just to bust it and give it to Him. Regardless of what's going on, they're going to sing through something here in just a second. When they begin to sing, if you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. Lord, give us the strength to obey your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I know there's nothing magical about coming to an altar, Lord. And if you're everywhere at once, know everything and can do anything, you can meet us at our house later when ain't nobody looking. But, Lord, I also know there is something powerful about making a move toward you in front of people who love you. So, Lord, I pray if anybody needs prayer, you'll give them the courage and strength to muster. Take that step and to come. We love you, Lord.
There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty. You can make worthy. Wash me in mercy. I am clean. I see shatter, and you see whole. I see broken, you see beautiful. And you're helping me to believe. And you're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean, washed in the blood.
Let me say this to you this morning. I've had this happen to me a couple times, and I try to be just really obedient to the Spirit, but I just feel like in my spirit the Lord would say this to somebody today, and then I'm going to come down and pray with folks, and I think Sister Kristen's going to come and close us out. I believe there's somebody here, and your motivation for what you do in the world and to some extent for God, you, you had a rough past. Maybe people didn't live out love to you like they were supposed to. Maybe you got passed over on something, or maybe you were mistreated, or maybe falsely accused. And what is just gives you drive is that you say, I'll show them. Man, you grit your teeth and get up and get after it every day. And look, that is not a bad thing. It's a good thing to take things like that and use them for good motivation. But I think what the Lord would say to you today is that ain't gonna last forever. At some point, the joy of the Lord needs to become your strength. And at some point, you're gonna have to forgive those. Start beginning a process of forgiveness. And that vinegar ain't gonna last long. And if you'll come to Him this morning, He'll give you the joy of the Lord. Now, that never goes away. We can run and not grow weary and walk and not faint when we learn to mount our wing like an eagle and ride on the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? So if that's you, come. We'll pray for you.
Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Oh, washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and it made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You washed me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You washed me in mercy. I am clean. Oh, washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and it made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Oh, washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Oh, sing it one more time. Washed in the blood. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and it made me white. My dirty rags, they've been purified, as I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You washed me in mercy. I am clean. Oh, there's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what you did here today. God, I thank you for the word from Lee, Lord, about the reminder of things that you call beautiful. And God, I just pray for each person here whose heart was stirred, Lord, that they continue to walk that path with you, Lord. It is a process. And God, I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you met us here, Lord, that it was evident that your presence was here with us today. Lord, seal this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lee, for coming. I appreciate it. What an incredible word. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm glad, too, that Drew didn't cancel his trip and he came, or you came, you were here. So thankful. So, Lifehouse, let's stand and read our benediction together. The Lord bless me and keep me. The Lord turn his face toward me and give me peace. I am loved. I am highly valued. God is with me. I release what's behind me. I receive what God is doing now. I am moving forward in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You